All righty, boys and girls, let's quickly tell your moms and dads what we talked about. Our memory verse in Matthew 5:16, right, is what we talked about this week. And it says, let's say it together, boys and girls, and everybody in the building can read this. Let your light shine so others can see it. Then they will see the good things you do, and they will bring glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Now, all this week was based out of Psalm 139, which I'm going to share just a few thoughts about that from the Word of God in just a moment before we close this morning. But we talked about five things every day. We call it the bottom line. What we wanted your kids to know when they left this building, some important things. We're in five things. The first thing, boys and girls, before they put it up there, anybody remember the very first day what it was? Tell me what it was. Very good. God made you. Would everybody say it with me? God made you. The second day we talked about was what? God made you to trust Him, right? Made you to trust Him, right? Say that one together. God made you to trust Him. Let's go to the third one there. The third day was, let's say it together, God made you to follow Jesus, right? And we had 24 boys and girls who made that decision, right? The fourth day was, God made you to help others. We're made to help others. And the last day we talked about was, God made you to shine. We did a really cool thing at the very end. Everybody got a glow stick and put it around our necks, and the room was dark, and it was cool to see when there was just one glow stick. It was kind of dim, wasn't it, boys and girls? When everybody had theirs on, it was a lot of difference. And when in a room like this, we kind of feel that way. We go out in the world sometimes, we feel like we're all alone, but we need to be reminded of moments like this that we're not alone, right? That's why church is so vitally important, and having your kids being a part of a church family is so important, because it helps them grow, helps them learn to shine. They're not alone in what they do. Our Bible this morning, verse this morning, comes out of Psalm 139. If you happen to have a copy of God's Word, would you turn there quickly? And boys and girls, we just want to talk a little bit about what we talked about with your moms and dads a little bit, about how we are uniquely made and wonderfully wired. It's an amazing thing that God has made all of us this way. Just got an outline there if you happen to have it, moms and dads. It was in your worship guide there. You can also download that Bible app, and you can also find it there as well online if you'd like to have that. I just want to talk about four brief things this morning to kind of help us wrap our minds around the fact, moms and dads, boys and girls, that God has made us, each of us, unique and wonderfully wired. And it's kind of another way to kind of translate these scriptures. And here's what the Bible says in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6, and four thoughts I'm going to leave with you this morning. Number one, here's verse number one. Our Lord, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my paths and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. The first thing I want us to know this morning, boys and girls and moms and dads, is this, that God knows us intimately. God knows us well, and because He knows us, we cannot deceive Him. Now, we can deceive other people very easily. We're very good at that. We're born that way, quite frankly, boys and girls, moms and dads, aren't we? We can smile. We always talk about this if you're a guest this morning. We talk about sometimes we come into church and we put the church face on, the Jesus face, right? As we're turning on the Gandhi, right? We're coming into church. It's been World War III in the car, and it's, I'm gonna, and you turn in the thing, and I'm gonna. Praise the Lord. Welcome to church this morning, right? We put that face on, right? And we think that we're deceiving somebody, right? We're deceiving the Lord. But the reality is, God knows us. Before we even say our next word, God knows what we're going to say. God knows what we're going to think. We cannot deceive Him. The word here says, oh Lord, you search me. The Bible, that word literally means to pierce through, to examine with pain and care, to see right through a person. You often hear couples, those that are married, talk about the fact, I know what you're going to say before you're going to say it. We can take that to a much higher level, billions times higher, that God knows us intimately in that way. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways. God knows us intimately in three ways. Number one, He knows my ways, right? He knows my ways, the path that I'm going to walk. The second thing, He knows my words, right? He knows my path, the way I'm going to walk. He knows my words, what I'm going to speak, and it makes us stop and think about what we say before we say it, right? Because God knows what we're going to say before we say it. And so how carefully must we choose our words? Thirdly, the Bible says here, He knows my walk. He knows my ways, my thoughts, what I'm thinking. He knows my words, what I'm going to say. And thirdly, he knows my walk. So he knows how we live this week, right? Right, and we can deceive other people and act like we lived a certain way, but the reality is, the truth is, we can't deceive God. And that's really good news in some ways, because God loves us. God cares for us so deeply and so intimately that he knows our thoughts, he knows our ways, he knows our words. And in spite of all those things, here's the great news, because when we say that, sometimes we go, oh no, oh, I'm so embarrassed, I'm so ashamed, right? But here's the great thing about God. We can come to him just like we are. And God promises to transform us, to change us from the inside out, to bring our ways, our words, and our walk before him. Hebrews 4:13 says, God knows everything about everyone. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing, living God. Nothing can be hidden from him, to whom we must explain all that we have done. So we see right out of the gate that God knows us intimately, right? And David's reaction to that, he's like, this is so amazing, it blows my mind. I'm going to share with you some things in a moment about our bodies that blows our mind about how we're uniquely made and that God loves us so very much. Notice the second thing. Not only does God know us intimately, we can't deceive him. Secondly, God is with us constantly. We cannot dodge him. God is with us constantly. We can't dodge him. You ever had that person that was around you that you just wanted to dodge? You saw them coming down the aisle at Walmart. I know none of you have ever done this before. Never. I know. You see them from a distance and you think, quick, aisle six, it's the preacher. For whatever reason, you don't want to see the preacher. I don't know why. I wouldn't even talk about why. You might want to be. Maybe you've been out a while, maybe you don't want to talk to him, maybe you had some in your grocery cart, I don't know, but anyway, it doesn't really matter, right? Because everybody, nobody looks in anybody else's grocery cart, do you? You don't do that either, do you? Oh, you do, yeah, I've watched you, I've seen you, right? So, we want to dodge people, right? Sometimes we live our life as if we can dodge God. Well, if I don't go to church, I won't be in God's presence, so I can dodge God. And I've been burned, I've been hurt, I want to stay out of church, and I just want to leave kind of God alone. Here's the thing, you can leave God alone, but here's the great news, God's not going to leave you alone. God loves you that much. God cares about you that much that he will pursue us because it says he is with us constantly. The Bible says nothing can separate us from God's love in Romans chapter 8. Nothing. Nothing that anybody says or does, no person, no being, no created thing can separate us from God's love. Three things that remind us about God is with us constantly. Number one, death does not hide us from God. Death does not hide us from God. We see in verses 7 through 12 where he talks about these truths. Listen to what he says. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not even dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. So the Bible tells in verse 7 and 8 that we are all going to die. Now that's not a subject we usually want to talk about during Kids Extreme Week or Vacation Bible School, right? But the truth is, the reality is all of us are going to die. The only issue is, what do we do when we die? The Bible is abundantly clear that if we have accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, like some of our boys and girls did this week and will make public today, it promises us eternal life in heaven. But if we choose not to do that, to reject Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord and allow him to transform our life. I'm not talking about just you make some decision, adults, when you were 7 years old and you got baptized in a creek or in a baptistry some long time ago, but your life has never reflected that. Then all you did was just made a decision to do something that you never followed through with, right? We know that when we have Christ in our hearts, it changes us. And so when we come to this moment of death, the moment that everybody seems to fear, the Bible says for the believer, we don't have to fear death because God promises to be with us. We see those promises in Psalm 23 and other places. We don't have to fear death in 1 Corinthians 15 because the grave has been defeated for those who know Christ as Savior and Lord. So death does not hide us from God. Secondly, distance does not hide us from God. Right? We think if I go over here, God can't see me, then I go to the remotest parts of the earth. Right, I've been to some places in my travels over the last 25 years of being in ministry, 25 years plus. I've been in all kinds of countries. And sometimes I felt like I was at the ends of the earth, that God wouldn't even know where I was. I've been to the highest point. I flew over one time, Mount Everest, the highest peak on earth. You can go to the lowest place below sea level. And the Bible says God is there. Here's great news, friend. God will never leave you. Distance does not hide you. Death does not separate us. And thirdly, darkness does not hide us from God either. And we talk about darkness. We don't use that word. All of us, from time to time, get scared of being in the dark, right? Now, we all may act all macho and cool, but something goes bump in the night at 2 o'clock in the morning. You wake up and your house is completely dark, and you're wiping that sleep above your eyes. And, Dad, you're trying to be super dad, right? You know, and you don't admit it, but your heart is beating 4,000 miles an hour. You're acting all cool, like, I got this. Praying, oh, God, don't let anybody be in my house, right? I'm be all brave. Honey, just stand behind me. Stand behind me. I'll duck. You know, I mean, it's not that, right? Don't do that. Right? Darkness scares us. Why? Because we can't see. You know what darkness is for a lot of us? Our future. What tomorrow holds. That's our darkness because we can't see it. Only God can see that. But here's the great news. Darkness isn't dark to God because the Bible says He is the light of the world. So I don't know what kind of darkness you might find yourself in today. Maybe it's disease. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe you got to move. Maybe one of your children got sick. I don't know what it is for you, but I've got great news for you. Maybe it's even spiritual darkness. But here's the great news. God promises to shine through that darkness. So God made us, knows us intimately. The second thing we said this morning was that God is with us constantly. Thirdly, God made us wonderfully. God made us wonderfully. And when I come to this point of scripture, I'm always reminded when people want to say that we just kind of evolved, there was some gigantic explosion. When you do enough study of just the human body, or you go out into outer space and you see the God who intricately and amazingly made, but you just look at your bodies, you go study your bodies, and our bodies are simply astounding. Listen to what it says in this Psalm, verses 13 to 18. Listen to what it says. For you formed me in my inward parts. You did weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. God made us to know who made us. God made us to know our Creator, the Bible says. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all the days written that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast are the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sands. When I wake, you are still with me. God made us wonderfully. He made us in such an amazing way. Now, the very first time, I was a long, long time ago, I went to Disney World. And we were going, I think I was in the fifth grade maybe, and we got to go, and we were going to ride Space Mountain, right? And we went through the first day. We didn't get to go to Space Mountain. We went to that little tram thing that takes you through Space Mountain, right? And all I could hear was the horrifying screams, right? People talk about how great this ride is, and you just got to believe me. It's really, really cool, and you can trust me. And so the next day, we were going to ride it, but it was broken. Okay, that's a party foul number one. If roller coaster breaks, I'm not interested in getting on it, right? So this is amazing. They had all the lights on inside of Space Mountain, right? And we go through and see the most jumbled mess of tracks you could ever imagine. I thought to myself in the fifth grade, hey, I believe this person made it, but not me. I ain't getting on this ride. There is no way. I mean, whoever made this was insane, right? Because you got to see it because you ride the ride in the dark. But you have to trust that this creator that made this ride made it safe, right? We think about our bodies, that God created us in such an amazing way. Listen to these stats just really quickly. Every minute in our bodies, 3 billion cells die, and the same numbers are created to take their place. In our brain alone, we have 30 billion cells. This is about your fingerprint, right? Did you know that your eyes are as individual as your fingerprints, right? Our fingerprints do amazing things. That's unique to us, right? Only you have that unique fingerprint, right? Our eyes, did you know that your eyes are also as individual as your fingerprints, much like your tongue? Listen to what your eyes can do. Your retina has 130 million rod-shaped cells detecting light. Plus, your eye has 6 million cone-shaped cells that are just for detecting color. The focusing muscle in your eye focuses and moves around 100,000 times a day. If you were to translate that into walking in your leg muscles, you'd have to walk 50 miles in one day. It's kind of like you getting 50,000 text messages all at the same time and be able to read and understand them all at once, right? Notice the third thing, an atom. Your body is made up of atoms. Each one of these is a miracle in itself. There are 7 octillion of those in your body. Octillion. What in the world is that number? I have no idea. If somebody didn't tell me, I would have no clue. But here's what it is. It's a 7 with 27 zeros after it. That's how many atoms are in your body. In 30 minutes, your human body gives off enough heat to bring a gallon of water to boil. I think I could bring like 5 right now. I'm so hot. I could do that, right? Isn't that amazing? Our blood vessels, we have enough blood vessels in your body. Are you ready for this? To wrap around the entire world 2.5 times. Okay, that's a lot of blood vessels in your body, right? Packed in there. Our skin replaces its outside layer every month. You didn't know it, but you are a snake. You didn't know that, did you? Right? In your whole lifetime, you're going to shed 40 pounds of skin. I read that and I thought to myself, well, man, I need to do a lot more shedding. That would be really great. What a diet plan that would be, right? Kind of gross, but that's what our skin does. And one last picture I want to show you about how great created us incredibly. There is something called, and don't show it quite yet, Michael, a molecule, and I've shared this with some of our church folks before, called laminin. Scientists discovered this years ago, and this molecule called laminin is often called a rebar of the human body. It's what holds our cells together. It keeps us from falling apart. It's kind of like the rebar of the human body, like that wire they put in concrete before they pour it. It holds all of us together. And when you see this, of what God has made that holds us together, I want you to see what this molecule actually looks like. Isn't that amazing? Look at an actual molecule. That is an actual microscopic view of the laminin molecule. You have thousands of them in your body. The Bible said here in Psalm 139 that God made us to know our Creator. He put the cross inside of every person's body. God doesn't know me. God doesn't care about me. Oh, you are so wrong, dear friend. God of the universe sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me and put his DNA stamp inside of your body. What holds you together? You think you're holding yourself together. Oh, no, dear friend. It is the cross, the laminin molecule that is holding you together. What great news that God knows us that way, that he created us. And secondly, not only does he create us, he considers us. He considers us. The Bible says, this is a great time to think about this illustration, right? How many of you have been to the beach before and seen sand? Raise your hand. This is audience participation, so, okay. All right, how many of you have never seen a beach of sand in your whole life, ever? All right, good. You can tell we don't live in Wyoming. Fantastic. All right, now, here's what the Bible says. You go on that sand, you hold it, and you think you see a lot of sand in your hand. Thousands probably of crystals of sand in your hand or more. The Bible says here in Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18, that if you were to take all the sand on all the seashores in the world, the Bible says that God thinks about you and me more than all those combined in a day. Now, I don't know how many that is, but I guess that octillion or whatever number that is, I guess that maybe might get started about how many sands are on all the seashores of the world. Folks, listen to me. We might not consider God, but God is thinking about you every day. God created us to know him intimately. We cannot deceive him. God tells us in his word what the second thing, that God made us wonderfully. We don't disregard him. We can't disregard him. And thirdly, that third point in my notes here, God is with us constantly. We can't dodge him. And lastly, as we close this morning, here it is. God judges us righteously. God judges us righteously. We cannot dispute God. Two things we see here. We're called to stand against sin. We're called to hate sin and the sin that so easily entangles our life. All of us have sin in our life. Sin is those things we do wrong that displease the heart of God. And the only one that can take that away is our Savior. And so the second one says, we are searched by the Savior. Our prayer this morning, out of all that's happened this week for your kids at Kids Extreme Week this week, our prayer for you moms and dads, teenagers, you might be listening this morning and all of a sudden letting it fresh and anew how much the God of the universe loves and cares about you. People say, well, how do you know God cares about me? I mean, how do you even know that, Brad? Let me tell you how I know it. Because Jesus showed it on the cross. You don't have to wonder if God cares. You don't have to wonder if God knows. You don't have to wonder if God sees. You don't have to wonder if God thinks about you. We know that he does. And he lovingly calls us to search ourselves, To say, Lord, would you search me and know me and test my thoughts. And if there's any hurtful way in me, then lead me in the right path. Folks, sometimes when we sin and we fall away from God, we have the wrong tendency. We tend to run away from God. Let me give you a word of encouragement this morning. If you've been running from God, can I give you a word this morning? Would you stop? Stop running from God because you've messed up, because you think you couldn't come into God's presence, because God wouldn't love you, God wouldn't understand. Here's the great news. God says when we sin, we are to run to Him. It is the devil that tells us to run away from God, that God won't love us, that God won't care about us, that God won't understand, that God will be mad at you. Instead, God says, come to me and let me search you and let me help you on the right path. That path that God says, I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Dear friends, I want to encourage you this morning as we come to a time of invitation that you would consider these truths, that God created you to know Him. God created you to have a relationship with Him. And as I told our boys and girls on Thursday, how you can do that is so simple. It's so simple, I call it the ABCs. We simply come to the Lord and say, Lord, I admit to you I'm a sinner. I've missed the mark. I've messed up. Lord, I know that I've not done what I need to be doing. I know there's no perfect person, so God, I admit that I'm a sinner like every other person in the world. I want to ask you, the second part of that A is to ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. The B is to believe. Believe that Jesus is God's Son, that He came and died, lived a perfect sinless life, but died a sinner's death, your death, for you and for me. And here's the kicker about this, folks, and listen to me carefully, because some of you grew up in church, maybe you've been out of church a while, I don't know, but here's the deal. Some of us say we believe something, but listen to me, if I believe something, listen to me, it changes who we are. When I have my boys and girls in there, we talk about what it means to believe. And I'll put a chair in my desk, and I'll stand by that chair, and I'll say, you know what, I believe that chair will hold me. And I tell those boys and girls, I said, do I really believe that? And they're like, well, yeah. I said, no, do I really believe it? Because I believe it'll hold me up, but I'm going to just stand here the whole time. You see, until I decide to put my rear end in that seat, I don't believe that seat will hold me up. The same is true with Jesus. If I believe in who Jesus is so much so that it changes my head to my heart, then I will sit in Him and I will allow Him to transform who I am. If I have not done that and He's not transformed me, then listen to me carefully. You need to be certain you've actually known Jesus Christ, because here's what I do know about Jesus. If you've met Jesus, He will change your life. He will change your priorities. He will change your focus. Now, do sometimes we get off that path? Oh, yes. We get off on that wide road and God gently and lovingly calls us back and we ask Him to search us and He calls us back to Himself. Do you believe that with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength? C is confess. Confess Him as Savior. I told our boys and girls, and I'm almost through, everybody, here's what I would tell them. You can't save yourself. You can't be good enough, right enough, long enough to earn God's love. You can give money. You can come to church. You can be a nice person. But that won't get you into heaven, because here's the thing. There has to be a standard. And who decides who's good enough? Guess what? No one's good enough except Jesus. But here's the amazing thing. I confess and say to you, Jesus, I cannot save myself, but would you save me? And listen to me carefully. He doesn't say, well, let me check and see where you live. Let me check and see where you come from. Let me check and see the color of your skin. Let me see your checkbook. Let me see how you did this and how you did that. Oh, no, no. Jesus says, you come as you are. And that I will transform and change your life. That last part of the C is commit. I commit my life to Him as Lord. Here's where some of us, I think, missed it when we were younger. Some of us got saved, was the word we used, born again back in the day. And we missed this commit part of making Him Lord. See, the word Lord, I always tell kiddos, I ask them when they come off and say, did you drive here today? Nope. So you weren't the boss of your car, right? No, you weren't the boss of your car. Now, some of us have backseat drivers that ride with us and try to boss us around and tell us where to go, right? Jesus says, I want to put you in the driver's seat of my life. We say to Jesus, I want you to take control of my life, and I want you to be the boss of my life. And listen, some would say, that's a scary thing to do. Folks, it's the greatest thing you could ever possibly do in your life. Ever. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment as we come to a time of invitation?